The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an exciting message from our guest.
Right now, I'm just excited about having Bill with us this morning. Vision for Africa, we've been supporting that ministry for quite some time now. They actually attended this church at one time before they moved on. And a lot of different things have happened in your life since then, no doubt. But God is using Bill and Patricia in Africa, Vision for Africa, in an awesome way. And he's going to share some of that with you this morning so that you'll know exactly what you're a part of in Africa. You're reaching out to the people in Africa. Brother? God bless. Thank you. You're welcome.
So if I was in Africa right now, I would say, Mungu Abariki. What did he say? I said, God bless you. And I want to say God bless all of you for your support, what you do for us in Africa. We couldn't do it if it wasn't for you. You know, Patricia and I, we didn't go on deputation. We just went because God said go. So we started out. We were just on my retirement. And of course, you know, as we get older, now we have Social Security. But what you give us helps us to go farther. Now, let me explain why Vision for Africa does what we do. We saw people getting saved, but they weren't discipled. There was no training set up for them. I looked at other Bible schools, and all they did was memorize verses. They didn't teach the people how to take God's word and apply it to their life. So that's how we got started. We take 1 year, and we take pastors and leaders, and we train pastors and give them a solid foundation on how to use the Bible, apply it to their life, and go. Now, I like to say, we live in the last town before nowhere. Anything north of us is sub-Sahara Desert, and the Pokot tribe is there. Now, I love the Pokot tribe. They are a warrior tribe. The government of Kenya is scared to death of them. Until 5 years ago, the government would not even go up in there. So there's been no schools, no training, nothing for the people. And it's very, very primitive. It's like going back in time 200-300 years. But we've been there. We've had classes there. We've had graduations. And I love it. Now, as Pastor Rob said, we started out going to church here. And God just kept working on us and kept saying, go to Africa. Now, I know many of you may have thought when we left here and we come back and we said we're going to Africa, you thought, they're just going on an adventure. You're just going to go. And we thought, well, we'll go a couple years. Maybe, you know, we can give out hugs, wipe noses, give out candy. But something happened to us. We fell in love with Kenya. We fell in love with the people. Our desire is to take our last breath serving God in Kenya. We've told our children they're going to bury us in Kenya. That's home to us, because that's where the people are. We have people that walk miles to come to hear about God. They're so hungry. And so we are able, I have 10 teachers total. Six of them we put on motorcycles. Now this church bought a motorcycle for Silvanos. Okay? They are go out to the bush. When I say the bush, I'm not just talking 2 miles out. I'm talking 10, 15, 20, 30 miles out, and they start classes and teaching. And you're going to see some pictures of it here in just a little bit of what we do. But I want you to see and understand we can't do what we do if it wasn't for you. So again, I say, Mungu abariki. So if we could go ahead and get the first picture, please. Uh-oh. Well, I'll keep talking anyway. The Kenyan people have been so suppressed. And up until 1963, they were under British control. They did not have their independence. So they're held down. They're scared. But they're coming up. Now they're going on about 60 years of independence. They're coming out. So you're going to see, this is how Patricia and I teach. This is a mud church. This is about 30 miles out. But they see husband and wife interacting. With the Kenya culture, they don't do that. The men do everything, and the women stay at home and take care of the children. So this has opened up doors to a ministry for us. We also do marriage seminars to teach them how God wants a marriage to be. And that's our most fun. I love to do the marriage seminars because at the end of it, marriages are changed. Lives are changed. One time in a very remote village, I had the men down at a house. Patricia had the women up at the church. And we worked on them, talking about how does God want a marriage. So when it come time to come back together, you know, I motivated the men. Are you real men? Yeah, they would scream at me, you know. I handed each man a rose. And the men and I walked through the village to the church carrying a rose. And of course, you can imagine what other people thought. But we didn't care because we're real men. We go into the church. Each man goes up to his wife, kneels down, gives her a rose, and says, I love you. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've never seen so big alligator tears in the people. Marriages are changing because we're doing it God's way, not our way, but how God says to do it. So not only are you helping us take the word of God to Kenya, you're helping us change a culture to God's way. Amen? Okay, go ahead. Because of COVID, so many people don't have jobs or anything. So we raised some money. We bought blankets. And you can see in this picture, we drove as far as we could. Then we carried them. These are taking blankets back into a family that we know in the remote area. We had to walk about a mile to get back into their house because there's no roads. All there is little tiny paths, and our vehicle won't go through it. Okay, this is how we buy blankets. There's 20 blankets to a bundle. And so we'll go buy 5, 6 bundles, and we take them out and give to the people. This is what you're helping us do. Now this, a birthday is something they don't really celebrate in Kenya. Many of them don't even know what day or what year they were born. But this is a family, the little boy with the yellow shirt there, I guess I should point this way. It was his birthday, he's very special to us. And Patricia made him cupcakes, we got him gifts, we got him hats, and all the little kids around came and had a birthday party. First time they'd ever had one. All right, our compound is 2 acres, and we've taken 1 acre of it, and we train widows. We found 17 widows on the street. We brought them in, and we teach them organic farming. And through this, they're able to grow vegetables for their family. And if there's any vegetables extra, they can go sell that to have an income for their children. And I brought this out. You see the cages. The birds attack certain vegetables, and we kept losing them. So the widows came and said, we got to do something. We can't stand out there and wave sticks at them all day. we put things out to flutter, and that didn't work. So we made these cages to put over them. The cages interlock, and we can unlock them, flip them up. They can get in and do the weeding and then put them back down. But they're getting vegetables. And this is the key thing about vegetables. When the British ruled Kenya, they brought in corn, maize, they call it. And they make something called ugali out of the maize. And all it is they boil water, and they have the maize flour, they pour into it, and it makes a thick porridge. They put no seasoning in it, nothing. It's like eating mud. It has no good flavor, but it gives them carbohydrates that they can go all day because they eat a lot of it. Well, the sad thing of this is because of carbohydrates, that causes sugar diabetes because they have too much in their diet. So we're teaching the people to cut back on the ugali and eat more vegetables. So that's why we do the organic farming. We teach a lot of people farming. The Organic for Orphans actually sends people to our compound to see what we're doing over there so they can go do it in other communities. Okay? This is a funny one. This is a 40-foot container. We're going to use this container. We're going to fix it up inside, make a classroom on one end on it, and at the other end, we're going to have a tailoring shop because we want to teach the widows a skill. We don't want them to be dependent upon society. You know, so I got it almost into the yard. We get a lot of rain. We're in the Rift Valley. I had a wrecker hooked onto the front of it. He's coming through our fence, and he sunk clear to the axles. That container's been setting for 3 months, probably as far from here to that door from our compound. I checked with him this morning as I was coming. It's still raining there, so I can't get it in. But once we get it in, this will be a classroom for the widows and also a classroom for tailoring, teaching them. We have two sewing machines have been bought in so far. They're old pedal-type sewing machines, but we will teach the widows how to sew. We have a tailor. We've already acquired him, and he will teach for us. These are books. Messenger International is the one that launched us to Kenya. John called me in and he said, Bill, I have 2 one-way tickets to Africa for you if you want them. One way. I said, well, John, let me pray about it. Patricia and I prayed. God said, go. And within 30 days, we sold everything. We have absolutely nothing in America. No car, no house, no land. All we have is our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, okay? But these are books that John has sent to us. I have books hidden in my house everywhere because he sent like 4,000 at one time. But we take these out into the bush. This is up in the Pokot where this is at. The man in the middle is Pastor Ben. He is one of our teachers for the Pokot people. So we go where nobody wants to go. This is a feeding program. We have connected up with Food for Orphans, and they send us money. We're their feet on the ground, and we buy food and deliver it. We do it ourselves for the people rather than just giving them money. If you give them money, many times money goes in the wrong places. This way, I guarantee to Food for Orphans that any money they send will go where it is supposed to be. This is to a school. There's 140 children there. We feed them. There's another orphanage that have children, and we feed them. And then this is another way up in Pokot. This, we took food, blankets, and cookware to the people up there. There had been a flood. They lost everything. Their houses are made out of mud, and they just washed away. So we took it to them, and we had a wonderful time with the people, and they were so thankful for what they've got. So we took bags and bags of the maize. You can see the big sofarias, they call it, and we took blankets and utensils to help them get back on their feet. Okay, this is a church service, and you know, we are fighting the same thing you are with the COVID. So this is how they social distance in church. This is about 20 minutes from our house in a village called Moyes Bridge, and this is their church. This Pastor Philip is one of our graduates, and that's his church. I got to tell you a funny story about Pastor Philip. He came to us and he said, "I want some of your books," because he knew about John Bevere. And I said, "Well, I don't give books out. You have to go to school." He says, "Okay, I'll go to school." So when he filled out his application, this guy has a master's degree. And he's coming to my little old class? And I go, "Oh, man, I'm in trouble." So, you know, in school, the troublemakers always sat in the back of the classroom. Okay? Guess where he's sitting? In the back of the classroom. So I was prepared. I said, "Lord, help me make sure I can give him your answers, not my answers, but his answers." And he asked me every question you can imagine, trying to sharpshoot me through the whole thing. And it takes a year. But guess what? He's one of our teachers now. Because of what he learned, he realized was different, and he wants to take it to his people. He teaches in this church. He has a mud church about 30 minutes into the bush on one side of the road, and on the other side of the road about 40 minutes back in, he has another class going on right now. Now, just to give you a number, you know, Patricia and I are just ordinary people. I used to live in Racine. She used to live in Middleport. We're homegrown people just like you. But God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things, okay? By the time we get back, we're supposed to go back in January, Vision for Africa will have graduated over 2,000 people. That's not bad for two hillbillies. Okay? There it is. Now, this lady here, this is Shamim. She is a born-again Muslim. She was Muslim. She went through our class. She got saved. She got born again. And I got to baptize her. Amen? And guess what? That's our widow's teacher now. Okay? This is at a wedding. Now, Kenyans normally don't do things husband and wife together, like having fun like this. So we put a balloon between them. They have to put their hands behind their back, and they have to work together. Teaching them husband and wives work together. So we have a lot of fun at games, but that's them at one of our marriage seminars. This is where danger comes in for Patricia. We have, it's called Mercy Rescue. It's where they rescue abandoned babies. I mean, they found them in pig pens. They found them abandoned at the hospital, thrown out in the field. So every time we go there, when we go to leave, I have to check Patricia's pockets. Because she would bring every one of those childs that look like that. She'd bring them home. But God has us working in many, many different directions. And I asked for this time to show you what you are a part of. Okay? We've been here before, and we've talked, but you've never seen. That's why I wanted you to see this time now. Okay, this is the flooded area where I told you we went up. This is one of the river crossings that we had to go through to get on farther north. This is the town where we live. This is Katale. And I told you it's the last town before nowhere. Anything north of us is sub-Sahara desert. That's us going through the river crossing. That's our truck. And you see that black thing on top? That's a tent. It opens up, it flips open, and we sleep up there. And the reason I had to get the tent on top, we killed so many cobras, Patricia says, I'm going up. So that's why we have that. Okay? This is a typical slum. This is in Katale where we live. It's called Kipsongo, is the name of the slum. The largest slum in the world is in Nairobi, which is 9 hours south of us. And there's over 1 million people living like this in those kind of conditions. Now, I spent 21 years in the Army. I've been all over the world, and I thought I had seen poverty. But I've never seen poverty to this extent. This is beyond anything I've ever encountered. But we took them, this is at a Sunday school now, in the slum, we took them blankets to the kids and candy. You know what? They wanted the blankets more than they wanted the candy. You know, these people are struggling. But they were happy. Now, this lady, I have to tell you the story behind her. In 2000, it would have been 2008 or maybe early 2009, we were working with a village called Maseno. They called us to come pray for this lady. This lady, when we found her, she was laying on a mat. She was in stage 4 of HIV. She had came there, this is an orphanage, and she came there to give her child up to the orphanage, because she knew that she was going to die. And they said, come pray for her. Now, I was raised Baptist. My wife was raised Pentecostal. So I claim to be a Baptocostal now. Okay? So we went. She was laying there, and we knew she was in the last stages. When your body's not getting oxygen, you start modeling, they call it, and your leg starts changing color. She was almost gone. We explained salvation to her. We explained, Patricia did, about all you have to have is just the faith of a mustard seed. And we said, do you have that faith? And she said, yes. And then we told her, and she jumped up, ran in a circle, and started dancing. Now, this is a lady that was, I mean, down flat. This picture was taken this year in October before we came. This is Deborah, the lady that was healed. She's still going strong because of God. Amen? This is up in Pocot again. This is tea time. They believe that if they serve you tea, that they will receive a blessing in their home. So everywhere we go, they always want to give us tea. Now, they call it chai. I like the one with camel's milk is better, because camel's milk is more healthy. But they give it camel's milk with a tea bag in it, and they boil it to make sure they've killed all the germs in it, but it's good. But that is chai time. All right, these are 10 orphan teenagers that we found abandoned in a school. There was a school that they just left it, and we got connected to it, and these 10 girls, Patricia and I, financially, we're taking care of all the needs of those 10 teenagers. We've had them come stay at our house. We put mattresses down on the floor, and all 10 of the girls were in there, and they all had a pillow, and I taught them how to have a pillow fight. You know, that's the fun part of being a grandpa to all these children. You know, you can have fun with them and send them back home. But the problem is, they stay with us. And I love every one of them. They're so sweet. This is up in Turkana, which is even farther north. This is people from about 10 different churches. They found the oldest people from these churches, and they brought them in because they needed help. Now, this is funny because we took, you know, maize, the beans, the normal things we take, and we took oranges. These people had never had an orange before. Okay? I keep going. I think the next picture. This is them when we gave them oranges. They were celebrating. Okay? And it was so sweet. There was a lady there that had a wheelchair that she had gotten somewhere, and it was broken. So we took it all apart, we fixed it, and put her back in it, and it's working. But that's the people celebrating there. This is the road we had to go through to get there. You know, if there's any one thing, two things that I appreciate when I come back to America: a hot shower and good roads. You're blessed in this country, believe me, with roads. You're totally blessed. Okay, this is just places. This is, all right, now this is our graduation. This is the Pocock tribe, and I want you to watch this. This is them coming in their traditional clothes. Now, they've gone through class for a year now. Okay, if you look close, you'll see them. They got their spears. You know, this is deep, deep into Pocock. This is where I'm working with them, teaching them how to put the gowns on and the hats, getting ready for graduation. Now, this is, in this culture, the men are separate from the women. The women, you know, 10 feet behind. But at this graduation, I want you to see what happens. They're coming into the graduation. Graduation was under an umbrella tree, which would probably cover this whole room. It's just a big tree. And that's where we had graduation, under that tree. All right, but they're coming now. All right, go ahead to the next one. This is them, and you'll watch and see. Oh, this is them dancing. This is another place where we took food and maize, beans, blankets, up into this village, and you see them dancing. Well, Patricia decides she's going to dance with them. You see how they're jumping. Well, Patricia's still suffering in her knee right now from where she danced with them, but she couldn't stand still. All right, this is a family we found that it's a mud house they live in, and their roof was just destroyed, and, you know, they're trying to sleep, and rain's coming in, because it's rainy season for us there. So I went and bought a 30-foot tarp. We tarped the whole, this is right before we left, so we tarped the whole house, and there was this house and another one that we did, so that the rain won't come in, and now we're raising money. As soon as I get back in January, we're going to build him a new house. He's going to have a block house. He'll never, ever again have to worry about the rain, you know, disintegrating the mud, and they're going to have a new house. So that's another project we'll have as soon as we get back. And there's Patricia again in the baby rescue. She's got two. Got to check her pockets before she leaves. You know, we love to go there. All right, this is back up where I was telling you with the Turkana when we gave them their first orange. Patricia had to show them how to peel it. They didn't realize that, you know, you had to peel it to get to the good part. So this is giving them, and this guy got his first bite. Now, these people, I would guess 70, 80, 90. There was one lady that was 100 that was there. But this is their first bite of an orange, okay? That's the lady that had the wheelchair there. That's some of the people there. You can see we've given them blankets. You know, they're just sitting there. They didn't even know how to put the mask on. We gave them the mask, and some of them put it across their eyes. Somebody just, you know, would hold it up. They didn't know what to do with it, so we had to teach them that. And that's giving them soap. Those are big, long bars of soap, and they cut them up, and because... Which would you rather have, food or soap? So that's what they do. So, but they love soap. This is the old Mose. Old Mose means old man. He's drinking chai. There's Patricia with some of the women up there. They put a headband on her. Okay. This is just teaching the people up there about Jesus. And there they are dancing again. You can see. You'll see. This is where Patricia hurt her knee, right here. She took off. But that's their culture, is to dance. Okay? That's a church where we had classes for a year. I got to tell you a story about this. There was a young lady that when she was a teenager, she got an infection in her leg, and she had to have it amputated about right just below the knee. And they had taken a piece of wood, and they carved out, I guess you call it like a peg leg, that she just strapped on. But she walked about 10 miles to come to class for a year. And after class, you know, walking, she would be hurting so bad, she would have to rest 2 or 3 days. So through all of that, we got her an artificial leg. And guess what? It's white. And she loves it. She goes, look at my leg. Look at my leg. You know? She's so happy. This is over down toward the equator. This is Charles Haggai, one of our teachers. He rides a motorcycle all the way there to teach. In the name of that town is Basia. There's the Philip that had the big church in Moyes Bridge. That's him getting books to take out. Now that's how we get around up in the Pocot. I have a little, you know, when I was here, I had a Harley. You know, Ultra Glide, the biggest they make. The biggest motorcycle I can get over there is a little Honda 125. But that's how we get around up in the desert. Okay, this is the widows, and this is a classroom on our compound. This is where the widows come to class. They come to class for half a day. We teach them Bible, and the other half of the day they're out working in the garden growing the vegetables. That's the last one. Okay, so you can see what you're part of. Now you know. I'll say it anyway. You're all invited. Okay? You're invited. Because it takes all of us working together to get the Word of God out. You know, we are seeing people live change. We're seeing culture change. It's different now. Things are changing. This younger generation of Kenyans are willing to go against the old cultural way, make changes in their life to do it God's way. So that's what you are a part of. And again, I say thank you. Thank you for being a part of everything that we do. And this is just a few things. There's a lot more things that we do to help the people of Kenya. But you're a part of it. Now I would like to do an illustration just to show you about working together. What is the mission of the church? To preach the gospel, take care of the widows, and take care of the orphans, right? Okay, so my good friend over here. Come on, I need you to come with me. Okay, I need you to set right here. Yeah, it'll hold you. We checked it to make sure. Okay, Randy, you'll come up. Is there any children in here, or are they all in class? You got one? Okay, send a child up, please. So Randy is going to represent preaching the gospel. So you'll sit there. scoot way back on the table as far as you can. My friend right here, she's going to represent the widows. Come up here. And you sat right here. Scoot way up on there. So, the mission of the church is to do those three things. Okay? Everybody agree with me? Okay? Where's Pastor Rob? There he is. Pastor Rob, will you help me, sir? As the pastor, this is your job. You agree with me, sir? Lift it up. Randy, what's wrong? You need a missionary to help, right? Ready? How much do you weigh? He can't do it. Do we quit? No. No matter how old you are, God can still use you. I'm proof of that. In January, I had a heart attack. Okay? And it was a horrible experience. It took from 9 o'clock at night till 5 in the morning before they ever got me stabilized. The doctor told me, he goes, "You're a miracle." Because I was not supposed to live. But you know what that tells me? God's not done yet. Okay? So, is there anybody in here that is a leader in the church? Hold your hand up, please. If you're a leader, come on up here. Sir, if you'll come up. If you'll come up. You're laughing? Come on, too. You're older than me. Come on up. So if everybody will gather around the table, anybody interested in being a missionary, raise your hand. Uh-oh. Anybody thinking about it, maybe? Come on, I see a hand. Come on, ma'am. So if everybody will reach in, get a hold of the table, now lift up. Lift up. Higher. 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 Do you see what we can do for God? Okay, please put him down. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, everybody come down. That's my point I want to leave with you today. You know, Patricia and I both are on Social Security. But guess what? God doesn't care. God can still use you. So don't tell me I'm too old to go to the mission field. Okay? God can still use you. So not only can you help missionaries here, you can go. And you don't have to go to Africa. You know, there's people right, your next door neighbor. How many of you witness to your next door neighbor? Tell them about Jesus. Amen. That's what we've got to do. If we're going to change America. Now, I live in Kenya. The only news I get is CNN. We call that constantly negative news. Okay? But America is changing, and Christians have got to stand up. You know, the Bible says to turn the other cheek. Well, we've done that. And America's getting worse. How many agree with me? But we can change it. Just like we did the table. If you can join hands with Pastor Rob, join hands with your community, we can change and bring America back to the God-fearing country that it was founded on. Those principles that we stand for. You know, I spent 21 years in the Army. been through four wars. I stand for those principles, and we need to get back to them. We need to get back to those principles of putting God first in everything. Amen? Does anybody have any questions about Kenya, vision for Africa? I've gone through pretty fast because I want to make sure we had time for you to see the pictures and if you have questions. Anybody want to come? Come. Right now, we have a great place, and we'll be there until April. Our landlord is wanting to sell the property, so we've already found another piece of property. I'm trying to raise money to buy that so we have a permanent place. And if anybody wants to partner, come see it, check it out, see if you like it. We'll have a nice house. If you like it, you can stay. Amen? Any questions, please? Yes, sir. Okay. We have cases of books from Messenger International and from two other different ministries that have given us books. In Kenya, everybody wants a book because the more books you have on your shelf, the more important you look. So I don't just give books. You got to go to class. Okay? But John has written 20 books. We teach 8 of his books. Okay? Because it's a foundation. We teach The Bait of Satan, which is about forgiveness. We teach Drawing Near, which is about having a relationship with God. We teach Undercover, which is about submitting to authority, and Honors Reward, which is about honoring those in authority. Those are foundational principles that the Kenya people really need. So we build on. Each one is a building block to take them to a different level. Okay, and I've got lots of books. Like I said, I have 10 teachers. We try to teach 10 to 12 people in each class, so I'm always sending books out. Okay, other questions? In almost all cases right now, they grow up in the orphanage. One of the girls that we have brought on our compound, she lives with us. When she was 2 years old, she was abandoned at the orphanage. Where I showed you the 10 girls that we sponsor, she was in there from age 2, and she's 20 years old right now. She can't stay in a school environment because she's too old. She can't fall into social services because she's over 18. But she had no skills. So we brought her to live with us. We sent her to tailoring school to teach her a trade, and we're teaching her how to handle money and do things so she can go out on her own. You can't adopt in Kenya right now. And the reason for that is people have adopted and then say, I don't want him anymore, and try to give him back. So Kenya has said no adoptions. Although if we could adopt, I'd probably have a couple hundred right now. Okay? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. It depends on what you're wanting to do. If you send a care package, when it comes through the mail system, when it gets to Katale, the post office will tax whatever is in the box. And we pay taxes on it to bring it in. The best way to get the most for your money is through the church here, send money and say, earmark it, I want to buy blankets, or I want to buy food, or whatever you would like. And when it comes to us, we have a post office box in Colorado. Our daughter checks that post office every week. And if there's something in there for a particular requirement, she lets me know. That way, if you use our website, you can donate through the website. You can donate, you know, with a check right straight to the mailbox. But I guarantee you, if you send money, it will go where you designate it for. That's a promise I make to everybody, because I'm accountable to God. Okay? Everybody okay? Yes, ma'am. Okay. I'm not allowed to take pictures in the prison. Patricia and I both teach in the prison system. On the men's side, there's over 1,000 men in the prison, and their prisons are not like ours. It's horrible. On the women's side, there's about 250, and Patricia teaches there. It's not mandatory for them to come to class. It's only those that want to come to class. In Patricia's first class, there was 31 students, and all but 4 women were in for murder because they murdered their husbands. Okay? Because culture-wise, it's terrible over there. One of the places we went, this woman was missing 4 toes because she made her husband mad. You know, it's terrible. It's terrible the way women are treated there. So, but out of those, all the girls got saved in that class. Nolega, out of that class, is now one of our teachers. Okay? She was in there for life, and because of the change in what the warden saw in her, we wrote a letter requesting for her to be released because she was born again, because of her testimony, of what the change that was in her, she got released. She's now running an orphanage because in the Kenya prison system, a woman can have her child with her in prison up to age 5 years old. So any lady that's in prison that has a child that's over 5, Nolega is taking care of them out here, waiting for the mother to get released from prison. The men's side, I have a room, it's probably the size of this right here, and they'll pack 100 men in there because they want to hear the word of God. And I love going to the prison. That's where the real me comes out. In reaching men, motivating men to come to God so that their lives will change. So, yeah, we do a lot in the prison. Right now, because of COVID, we're locked out. But just as soon as the COVID is over, we'll go right back in. Yes. Okay. Pastor Rob?
Appreciate that presentation. I think we all have a little better understanding of what's going on with Vision for Africa Ministries. And we're all, I'm sure that you can appreciate the fact that we're a part of what's going on there.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.